Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things, come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
Great, thanks. Let me ask you a question. You ever wonder why there aren't more signs of the kingdom of God breaking into the world? Why isn't there more lives being changed? Why isn't there more hope? Why isn't there more peace? Why isn't there more love? I mean, Jesus came and he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And we've been looking at what that means. It means nothing less than the renewal of all things is beginning. Jesus is saying the power of God to renew all of life and the whole of creation is here. The King has arrived. The kingdom of God is at hand. Or as he puts it in that same breath, really, the time has come. The time is here. The world is turning. A decisive moment has arrived. The world will never be the same again. But where are the signs? I mean, shouldn't we see more of them? Anybody ever wonder that? I know I have. Where is the signs of the kingdom? Where is this renewal that Jesus talked about? This parable that he gives us this morning gives us perspective to really wrestle with questions like that. It's a parable that helps make sense of our world. It helps make sense of the coming of this kingdom that Jesus spoke about. And so we're going to consider this morning this parable. We're going to do that by looking at the three dominant images that we have in this story. The seed, the soil, and the sower. Let's jump in this morning. First, the seed. Notice that there's seed that's just scattered. It's scattered broadly. The seed of the kingdom of God, it's God sowing it into the world, his power to renew life. under his reign and rule. He's scattering it like seed. Which is quite an image, seed. What do we know about seeds? Seeds are small. Tiny little things often. Not only are they small, but they're hidden. I mean, what do we do with seed? We take seed and we put it in the ground. We put soil over it. We water it. And then we wait. We wait. The small hidden thing in the ground, well, we wait for it. But there's more to a seed. Think of the potential of a seed. The potential, the power of life that's contained in each seed. And when that power is unleashed, there's life. There's growth. There's multiplication. In fact, some seeds, as they mature, they can multiply hundreds of other seeds out of one seed. It's remarkable. I remember the first time I drove into the state of Iowa years and years ago, heading to college. Fields full of corn. Soybeans. I'd never seen anything like it before growing up in Southern California. I was the city slicker heading to the country, and it was all new to me. These rows and rows of giant stalks of corn just dotting the horizon. And then the harvest would come, and I was intrigued by that, and you'd see these little stubbles left on the ground. Winter would come, and it'd all be buried with snow, and you sort of forget about it. Then spring would come, and the fields would be plowed, and then the seeds scattered again. And these rows of corn begin to grow until these giant stalks just fill the entire landscape once again. Power of life that's contained in a seed. What an image for the kingdom of God. And so we stop and reflect. That's what parables invite us to do, to pause and reflect on what is Jesus trying to tell us by using this image of a seed. What kind of light does this shed for us on this kingdom? We start to realize that the kingdom of God does function a bit like a seed. It's often hidden. Its power is, and its potential is often not yet released. It's sort of in the ground, and we water it, and we wait. We wait for its power to be unleashed. We wait for its potential to be released. And then we get a glimpse. Then we see its power explode in the life of a person. The power of Jesus comes alive. This person comes alive. Guilt and shame are washed away. Old stories of pain and hurt are given a whole new ending. And I mentioned this last week, and I'll say it again. Every year we get a front row seat. The seed of this kingdom being planted in the men and women in Freedom Session. And we watch it explode and change lives. And it's a powerful display of what the kingdom of God can do. To heal hurting, broken people. To restore. And other times that we see the eruption and the power and the growth multiply and bear amazing fruit. Last week, I had the privilege of attending a conference in Vancouver called Multiply. And Andre and I went together. And the stories of growth and power, seeing the gospel multiply, they were so moving. And I'll just share one of them that stood out. And it's one that I'm actually privileged to play just a tiny, tiny part. What God is doing in Phoenix, Arizona right now. A team came up from Phoenix to share the story. Let me just share some of the highlights. Hundreds of churches working together for the good of that city, the fifth largest city in the United States. Recently, of course, there's all this talk about the wall, but what that means for Arizona is it means that people seeking asylum are many in this state, refugees. And would you believe it that the government looked to the churches to find homes for the asylum seekers and refugees? A number of years ago, there was a crisis in the foster care world in Phoenix. Thousands of kids, no homes. The churches rallied together. And to this day, thousands of kids have been placed in Christian foster homes across that city through united effort of the churches coming together and saying, we can bless this city. churches coming together to fight human trafficking. Stories of wealthy churches, get this, wealthy churches buying buildings for less resource churches and gifting them so that they can plant themselves in inner cities with less resources. Churches planting churches together. Marketplace leaders bringing change to the business world. The stories go on. It's amazing. And it's so encouraging. And I feel like I've been spoiled because in the last month, not only have I been in that city, but I've been in South Korea where God's doing amazing things there as well. The kingdom of God, friends, is very much alive. The seed planted. The seed watered, growing, multiplying. The potential for life-transforming power is in the seed, explosive power. The kingdom of God is like that. Maybe we're living in a time in our own city where we're waiting for God's power to be unleashed. That's the sense many of us are having. Recently, in the last month, the number of churches have felt similar burdens to ours to come together and pray for this city. And for the last couple Tuesdays, we've been gathering together to pray over this city and to pray that the kingdom of God would come in power. Would you join us in praying for that seed? That seed that's been planted and watered for it to explode in the power that it has to change the city. It's what we long for. Let's think about the soil. It's an image for the human heart that Jesus gives us here. Like the soil, we receive the seed that's scattered. But notice there are four kinds of soil. There are four kinds of reception to the seed. Four different types of human hearts, different conditions of the heart. And so as we look at these different types of soil, it's an invitation, and I want to be clear about it. It's an invitation for you to examine your own heart this morning. What kind of soil are you cultivating in your heart as this seed is being scattered in our world? Notice the different types. First, there's the hard heart, verse 15. And to understand the image Jesus is using, it's important for us to understand a little bit about ancient farming in Palestine. And here's some of the things we know, that often the strips of land were these long, narrow strips that kind of serpentine went through the hills and the valleys with little paths between the strips of soil. And these little paths were hard. They were beaten down by people walking on them, by the animals going over them repeatedly. And see, the seed that would fall on the paths, because the paths were compressed and hard, the seed would fall and just bounce off. Wouldn't go in the soil. It's a picture of a hard heart. God's truth, God's love, God's grace just doesn't stir, just doesn't move anymore. The traffic of life is beaten down the soil of your heart. It's compressed, and the seed just bounces off. Life is busy. Life is just full of other things that become more important. The interest in God is waning, and the seed just doesn't get in anymore. The ground of your life is beaten by these busy feet. There's just no time for spiritual things. No time for God. No time to stop and reflect. What's all the busyness for? You ever wonder that? We're so busy scurrying everywhere. Our lives are so jam-packed full. What's it for? What's the point of it? To what end? It's a heart that needs to be plowed under. The soil can be softened, broken up. And it can look this way. Often it looks like this in our Canadian world. It's just something that seems to block or prevent God from speaking into our life. God's truth just doesn't get in. Just bounces like hard soil. And one of the ways this happens repeatedly today is through the reality of cultural beliefs. And I'll call them defeater beliefs, as others have called them. What do I mean by that? Where every culture has a set of common sense beliefs. They're just sort of held in consensus. They're just sort of assumed. They're the kind of the water that we swim in. We just take them for granted. and these common sense beliefs make it harder and harder for many people to accept, let alone have any interest in, the God of the Bible. Here are some of the more common beliefs that just form the water we swim in today. You don't need to believe in God to have a life full of meaning and hope. I mean, look around. Lots of people are getting on with life and finding meaning and satisfaction and hope, and they don't have God. You don't need God for that. Or you should be free to live as you see fit, as long as you don't harm any other people along the way. Another common sense belief. You don't need God telling you how to live. Just live as you see fit. Just don't harm others. Or another one, you become yourself when you're true to your deepest desires and dreams. So discover those desires and be true to them. You certainly don't need God or some Bible telling you what to do or who you are. Or another one, there's really little or no evidence for the existence of God. It's a common sense belief held by many today. One more. Given all the diversity in the world, there just can't be one true religion. I mean, give me a break. Are you saying all the other religions are wrong? Now, we're not going to get into all those this morning, but let me just point out something. Those are all beliefs. You can't prove any of those. They're another set of beliefs. And here's the thing about those beliefs. They make it really hard, if not impossible, to hear the gospel. They're defeater beliefs. That is, they defeat other things from being true, especially the things that Christianity claims. And here's the other thing. Our culture traffics in these beliefs. They run over the paths of our hearts. They compress the soil of our hearts, hardening them to the seed of the gospel. And that seed just bounces off. It can't get in. So let me ask you this morning, what feet are running over the paths of your heart? What beliefs are you buying into that are hardening your heart to God? Jesus invites us to reflect on the condition of our hearts. Secondly, there are shallow hearts, verse 16 and 17. Another thing about these farms in Palestine is there was often, in many places, a hard bedrock of limestone, and there would be 2 to 3 inches of topsoil that would be spread over those limestone bedrocks. And so when the seed would fall in places like that, the sun would warm up the seed, and it would sprout, and it would grow fast. But the roots would hit the bedrock. It wouldn't grow very deep. Eventually, the sun would wither them, and they would die. It's a picture, Jesus says, of a seed getting in, but not taking deep root in the heart, not going down deep. Now, maybe there's an emotional high, a kind of retreat or mountaintop sort of experience, but over time, the mind is not transformed by God's truth. And the kind of beliefs we just talked about, those are the things that shape our minds. Those are the assumptions and presuppositions we make, and God's truth can't get into a mind like that, and the desires aren't stirred by the things of God's kingdom, stirred by other things, and the imagination is not engaged with God's beauty. And at the end of the day, the life of following Jesus is just too hard. I have to give up too much to follow Jesus and his kingdom. Give up too much control of my life, too much of my time, too much of my money. And so over time, growing as a disciple of Jesus, it no longer is a priority. It's no longer actually quite attractive, to be quite frank. I stay contented with Sunday Christianity, but over time, if I'm honest, I go to church less often too. I stop opening my Bible. I stop praying. As time moves on, a heart like this starts to drift. The seed doesn't go deep. The roots are shallow. Jesus hints at something else. When the storms of life come, and they will come, the roots aren't deep enough to weather the storms. Because God's not transformed the mind and and God has not changed the desires and stirred the imagination. God doesn't speak into these difficult circumstances. God no longer seems real, no longer an anchor to get through the storm. And so pain and suffering and disappointment and death, the storms beat down on a heart like this. And over time, the storm kicks the life right out of you. And let's just be really clear. Suffering and pain can do that. In fact, it's what we learn from Scripture is that when suffering and pain come into our life, and again, it's not whether they will, it's when they will, when they do, it results in often one of two things. See, the thing about pain and suffering is it doesn't like to hang out in the neutral zone. Just sort of hang out there. It actually does something. It does one of two things. It makes you a better person or it makes you a more bitter person. You see, suffering can drive the roots of your faith deeper and deeper into Christ. And why does it do that? Because suffering has a way of bringing us to the end of ourselves, the end of our resources. We cry out to God in ways we could never imagine having to cry out to Him. We say, God, help. God, I can't do this without You. And sometimes it feels like we're in the twilight zone because we're crying out to God for things we never thought we'd have to face. But here we are saying, God, help. I can't do this without You. The opposite can happen too. Storms come. Become bitter, become angry, become filled with resentment. Why am I suffering like this? And doesn't God care? Where is God anyways? Instead of growing stronger, your faith begins to fade and drift. You see, suffering and pain can suck the life right out of you. You could see it in someone's eyes. The light's gone. The joy has vanished. And before long, the faith fades away. So let me ask you, are you putting deep roots into Jesus? See, the anchor we sang about it this morning, the anchor that holds when the storms come, is He that for you? Is growing as a disciple of Jesus, is that still a priority for you? Or has it become sort of secondary? It's a call to examine our hearts. Third, another type of soil. There are divided hearts, verses 18 and 19. This is the heart where the seed gets in the soil. And there's not that bedrock, and there's hope for it to go down. The seed germinates, the seed sprouts, but with the water and the warmth, it also activates the weeds. And the weeds start to sprout and grow as well. And there's only so much water. So the weeds and the plant compete for that water. And over time, it's a picture of a heart where the weeds choke the seed out until it dies. It's a story that seems to unfold every year in my yard. By August, it seems like the weeds always win. It's a picture of a divided heart. The thorny weeds come in and they do their choking work. And Jesus highlights a couple of those weeds, those dominant ones. And let's just mention them briefly. The cares of the world, which is such a broad, overarching term. But think about the world we live in and what does that start to look like? We live in a world just filled with distractions, don't we? I would venture to guess that most of us, if not all of us, probably spend more time looking at a screen, whether that screen is in our hand or up on the wall. More time looking at a screen than we spend cultivating the seed of the gospel in our hearts. And the distractions are many on those screens, aren't they? They're new every morning. They fill our notifications. They fill our hearts. They capture our imaginations. They begin to choke seed of the gospel from our hearts. The deceitfulness of riches, another weed Jesus mentions. There are many ways that wealth and money deceive us. Here's a couple that I recognize. One of the ways it deceives us, it sends a message, something like this. All this money, it's all mine. I've earned it. I've worked hard for it. It belongs to me. I can spend it how I want. I deserve the things that I can buy and experience with it. So deceptive. Or another one, if I have enough, I'll be secure. I won't have to worry. I'll have a comfortable retirement. My future will be secure. My family will be taken care of if I just have enough. Another deception of wealth. Or one more, I've got this. Everything I really need, I have access to. I'm in control. I'm the captain of my own ship. I'm the master of my own fate. My bank account proves it. Deceitfulness of riches, choking. And then a final one, the desire for other things, another sort of blanket statement. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows that the battle for the kingdom of God to take root in our hearts is a battle of desire. It's a battle of loves. What will you find most attractive? What will you find most beautiful? What will you love the most? We live in a society where we're bombarded daily with images and messages that stir our loves and desires. It's easy to spend more time thinking about and researching our next major purchase than studying God's word. It's easy to get more excited about our next trip than about the next opportunity to serve those in need in our city. It's easy to have more joy thinking about our bucket list than thinking about how we can live with less and give more away so that the kingdom of God can grow. The battle of desires, it rages constantly in our hearts. And if we're not careful, Jesus is warning us, if we're not careful, it becomes August in our hearts and the weeds win. What about you? Do you know? You recognize the weeds in your heart? Your weeds look different than my weeds, but do you know your weeds? Are you cultivating them and watering them, or are you pulling them out? It's an invitation to examine your heart. And finally, we finally get to verse 20. You know, at this point, you start to wonder, well, all these types of soil, none of them sound all that great. And Jesus gets to this final image, the fruitful soil, the fruitful heart, the heart that allows the seed to take deep root, that the seed grows, it's watered, it multiplies. The harvest is plentiful, he says, 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. What's the harvest of the seed of the kingdom? We know from Scripture it's a manifold harvest. Here's a couple key things we know. It's a harvest of character, isn't it? Paul will talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Another harvest imagery, the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit multiplying, growing in our lives. It's a sign that the kingdom, that seed's got in. And it's having a good harvest. And what was that fruit of the Spirit again? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A great list to examine your heart with this week. Are you becoming more kind, more gentle? Are you exercising greater self-control, more patience, more filled with peace, love, joy? It's the fruit of character, heart, which the seed has taken root. It's also the fruit of a life in which, Jesus will put it elsewhere, where we seek first the kingdom of God. That becomes our priority. And so serving others is our first priority. And knowing that God will take care of what we need along the way, but we live simply and we give the rest away. We prioritize praying as Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We follow Jesus on mission. We love our city. We serve other people. Some of the fruit, the kingdom of God is growing in us. So again, let me ask you this morning, what type of soil are you cultivating in your heart? It's an invitation to examine our hearts this morning. Is the busyness of life beating down your heart and making it hard? The word, the seed just kind of bounces off. It doesn't get in. Are the roots growing deep? or are they remaining shallow? The storm's raging, washing away the soil. Are the weeds being pulled out, or are they thriving, distracting, choking the seed in your heart? Is the seed of the kingdom bearing fruit? Do you see the fruit? Do others see the fruit? One more image to reflect on in this parable, the sower. The sower. It's a good place for us to end this morning. We see Jesus sowing the life of the kingdom into the world. It's a picture of the gospel being scattered broadly, scattered widely, landing on all kinds of different soils, having all kinds of different harvests. But as this story unfolds, we discover something else about this sower. This sower will also become the seed. Jesus will say this later on in his life. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. What's he talking about there? He's talking about his death. He's talking about his resurrection. And he would become the seed that would fall into the ground and die. The seed that would be hidden. They put him in a tomb. They sealed the tomb. We waited. We wondered, what about that kingdom of God that he kept talking about? What's going to come of it now? He's dead. He's buried. And then, pushing up through the soil, 3 days later, he rises from the dead, conquering death, defeating evil and injustice, and rising to new life, bursting out of the grave with the power of God's kingdom to heal and to restore all things. This is where this story will go. And friends, whatever condition your heart is in this morning, we all need this seed to break through and to break in to our hearts. And see, the thing about these images is, if we're honest with ourselves, don't we find ourselves in all four of those places, different times of our life? And who can say this morning, no, I am always the fruitful soil. Man, 100-fold, 200. If we're honest, how often are we that hard soil, and the word just bounces off? It doesn't get in. The weeds are thriving, choking. See, it doesn't matter what condition our hearts are in this morning. The invitation is to examine them. Do you know the condition of your heart? In whatever condition it's in, we all need this seed to break in. Maybe your heart this morning is growing hard. Maybe the traffic of life is pounding its way with its busy feet over your heart. It's hardening the soil. It's compressing it. It's making it more hard to be aware of God's presence and grace. And if that's you this morning, my prayer would be that the reality of Jesus' death for you would start to break up that soil again. Would start to soften your heart to his outrageous grace. The God of the universe loved you so much, he stopped short of nothing to capture your heart to pursue you. He sent his own son to die on a cross for you. And with the Spirit of God, make that not just words, but truth and reality to your heart, and break in through that hard soil. Maybe your heart's at risk of becoming shallow. The suffering, the pain of this life is taking its toll. The storms are there. And when I talked about the storms, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're beating down. The soil's washing away, and you don't know how much longer the roots can hang on. You find yourself crying out to God for help for things you never thought you'd have to cry out to him for. Know this morning, if that's you, that your Savior has suffered the agony of being abandoned by God, of being forsaken by God, so that you will never, ever have to experience those realities. Maybe you can't see him right now, but he's with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And the reason he's not is because he did that to his son. Jesus took what you deserve so that the Father would never walk away from you. Maybe your heart's divided. The weeds are getting thick. It feels like August. The seeds being choked out, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, these are winning the day. May the love of your Savior melt and overwhelm your heart this morning. Come to the cross. Allow his love for you to water that seed that's still there. Allow it to water it and grow it. And go to a brother or sister this morning and just say, I'm struggling. Can you pray with me and pray for me? The weeds are heavy right now. Bask in his love for you. Water that seed until it grows deeper and stronger roots, until it chokes those weeds out. And if your heart is fruitful this morning, praise God. May the seed who died and rose again continue to multiply a harvest in your heart and life. And if you see a 30-fold harvest, don't stop there. Go for 60-fold. Go for 100-fold. The fruit of the kingdom growing as you bear witness to your King. A life displaying and declaring the love of God for this world, so that others might come to share in this harvest. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this parable that speaks to us, that invites us to examine the condition of our hearts. And God, we thank you that your kingdom is like a seed. We thank you that you do scatter it broadly. And yeah, there are places where it seems to explode in power, and other places where it's hidden and dormant for a season. But Lord, it has real power. And when that power is unleashed, explosive growth happens. Lives are changed. Stories are rewritten. People are set free. God, we want to see more. We want to see more of that, God. We want to see more of that seed explode in this city. And so we cry out to you for that. Help us not lose heart while we wait on you. God, will we examine our hearts this morning as your Spirit shows us, God, and help us to find ourselves somewhere in these four types of soil. Help us to be honest about where we're at. Wherever we're at, God, we pray that you would not just be the sower this morning, that you would become the seed. Seed that died, was buried and hidden, and yet rose in such power to bring life and healing. Would you break through into our hearts with fresh power this morning? Holy Spirit, make Jesus real to us. Make his love not an abstraction, but may we experience this morning the joy of knowing that our Heavenly Father delights in us, knowing that he loves us. Would that get in this morning? Would it sink down and grow deep roots? Reminded of those words that you spoke over your son at his baptism. We need to hear those again. You are my child. I am so pleased with you. It's your words to us, over us. May your gospel root itself deep into our hearts, God. That there would be a harvest, a great harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. For your glory, God, we pray these things. May your kingdom come more fully here in this city. May your will be done here as it is in heaven. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand as we respond in singing.